Lord God, we just thank you again, Lord, for this day, Father. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for your many blessings, Father. We thank you, Father, Lord God. Help us, Father, Lord God, Lord, to just dive into your word, Lord God, to learn more about you, Father, Lord. We pray, Lord, bless him with your spirit, God. Lord, let it draw us closer unto you, Heavenly Father. God, we pray, Lord God, we just ask you, Lord God, to please be with our lost, Lord. Lord God, just turn their hearts, Lord God, to you, Father, Lord. We pray for our elders, God, and those, Lord, that are sick, Father. Lord, for those that have walked away, God, Lord, you know exactly where they are and what they need, Father. But God, we just ask you, Father, Lord God, come down and sit among us tonight. Help us, Lord, I pray. Lord God, to just, Lord God, to learn more about the love, Lord God, that you have for us, Lord, in your word. Bless these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, so my characteristic that I picked, we'll go ahead and start off by, talking about the one that I picked. I picked the meekness of Jesus Christ, and it's kind of funny how like James, you're already kind of hitting on it already. Is how they all just go hand in hand and tie together, when you're reading about the meekness of Christ, and I'll just start off by saying this before we dive in, is that you guys know how I teach in Sunday school. If you got anything, interrupt me, got questions, comments, anything, please. It's all, it's all a discussion. We learn more by talking about the scriptures. Yeah. So anyway, when you're studying about the meekness of Christ, it goes hand in hand with reading about humble. Oftentimes, when you're diving into it in scripture, one thing you find is that it's most of the time it's more geared towards us, and when you're reading it from the perspective of Christ, I feel like it kind of changes the angle on how, And what I mean by angle is kind of the perspective on how you look at it, because Jesus Christ, although he told us to be meek and humble, he himself also practiced every single one of these, examples that we'll dive into a little later. I still don't know how to write a short lesson. So I'm praying that, either way, I know it's going to be good, but I don't know if we'll get through all of it, but it'll be all right. But to start off, I figured I'd just go ahead and define it. I like to start off by defining, if it's just a word study, we'll define it. But basically the Greek definition for meek, and this is coming from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 is actually where we're going to start reading. And it's actually, this word comes from verse 29, and the Greek definition of it means to be gentle, it means to be humble, and it also means to be mild. And, Webster 1828, I like to pull in his definitions because he typically quotes scripture in it, but it means mild of temper, soft, not easily provoked or irritated, yielding, submissive. That's a very big one, you'll see later on. Submissive to divine will, not proud, we'll go ahead and just start reading in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He right there is, explaining to, obviously we know right here, it's commonly quoted, we know that it means, that if we seek him out, and are heavy and burdened down, we know that, Jesus Christ is yoke, and we know that yokes, to what they would use them for is to control the oxen. But the nice part about it too is the yoke was also there to keep them together too. So one thing that's really nice is if we yoke up to God, then he's able to, he says he's meek and lowly in heart, but have you noticed that, when you go and you link up to God, and seek him out, you notice how like his meekness tends to rub off on you. I mean, I don't know if that's a weird way to put it, but that's just something that I saw. Any thoughts, comments, questions, anything so far?
No, I don't want to get talky right away, but when you, I went and looked up, a lot of the references for, meek and I settled there in Matthew chapter 11, and that very verse that you read, 29, it is amazing for what stood out. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me."
Yep.
For I am meek and lowly in heart.
Amen.
And the in heart is what stood out. And, you know, he showed meekness in body as well.
Yeah.
You know, but he put it here in heart.
Yep.
So, you know, that to me is when he's saying, take my yoke, be like me, you know, is what he's saying. And I think that goes right along with the love. You know, if we want to truly love, we got to love like him.
Yeah, amen.
But I about jumped, did a backflip when you said that one first. And, just thank God for that. So, he's good.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that. Somebody else, you got anything? Anything you want to share or add? You know, don't be shy. So yeah, I, you know, I can't help but go to that verse, you know, and I'm thankful that, you know, God's linking us up, you know, I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful we're linked up to him, you know, but the thing that's amazing about this, and I kind of mentioned about this, you know, we're studying in Sunday school, the happy state of Christians, you know, it's so amazing on how humility ties into that, you know, and I, you know, when you're reading about, you know, humility, meek, you know, just reading on those words in general, if you don't find some humility or find, you know, it is one of the most humbling studies, I got to say, you know, and I feel like, you know, I kind of mentioned, you know, last week, you know, in our text, like, I feel like I've preached everything that I've been diving into. I really do. You know, it's hard not to get stirred up when you're diving into these scriptures, you know, and, you know, because, you know, again, Christ took all of this upon himself and he displayed this, you know. So we'll start in verse 1 of chapter 2. Again, sorry about that. But it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded and having the same love, being of one accord of one mind. So I think that right there is a starting place, you know, right there is being, again, just like we read, you know, take my yoke upon you, being in one accord and one mind, you know, a singleness of heart, you know, on Christ, you know, I think is very important if we want to understand more of his meekness, but if we too want to have that meekness. But he says, let nothing be done through strife, you know, or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You know, and then we're just going to go a little bit further, if that's all right. But it says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. You know, and then it goes on and it says, wherefore God also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every man, every name. So you can see that, you know, Christ himself here, you know, he took on this flesh, you know, he had, you know, and it, that right there, you know, him just condescending himself lower, you know, leaving the portals of heaven, you know, to take on this flesh. He didn't think it was robbery, you know, to go and take on the form of a servant of us. It says he, but it made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. It was made in the likeness of men. So he was completely man inside and out. He was 100% man, but as the Bible teaches, he was 100% God, you know, with us too. But any thoughts, comments, questions? I've been talking a lot. I apologize.
All right, verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. You know, that just shows the love that Paul had for his brethren. It is the same love that Christ had for us.
Yes, so, amen.
It's amazing. That in heart, I thought about that again since we've been talking. You know, it says David, you know, God said that David had a heart like him.
Amen.
You know, but how can we not want to have a heart like Christ? So that's awesome.
Amen. You know, just like just reading on this too, the fact that he made himself in the likeness of men, you know, like took upon every aspect of us, you know, completely, you know, it that means that he himself, you know, he suffered the things that we did, you know, he, you know, I mean, it says being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. I mean, it just it, this part, just reading this scripture, always gets me, because I keep thinking, like, man, you know, he really did, you know, take upon us in every aspect. You know, the way we think, you know, he took all that on him. The only difference is he was sinless in every aspect.
Amen.
But any other thoughts, comments, questions before we keep going?
Yeah, I know it's going back, but what you said about the yoke, you know what I mean, and it kind of rubs off on you. The more, I mean, who you spend your time with is who you're going to be like,
right,
and who you're going to be known by.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, if you go digging through dumpsters, you're going to smell like trash.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're live with a dog on your fleas.
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, the more time we spend with Jesus, the more like Jesus we're going to wind up being.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just inevitable. You know, I mean, there's no way around it. I mean, he's going to rub off on you. We ain't going to rub off on him. He's going to rub off on us.
Yes.
Those yokes, they would take a seasoned ox, and then they would put a newer ox with it, so it could kind of learn from that. You know, the old ox would rub off onto that new one.
That's good.
And kind of to where it got strong enough, and then so on and so forth. So, yeah, the more time we spend with him, the more of his attributes and characteristics we're going to have.
That's awesome. Amen. Yeah. And I can say, yeah, I agree with you completely, you know, because, you know, I've done this, you know, I've done that exact thing, you know, I've done both cases, you know, I've, you know, spent more time with, you know, worldly things, and those things begin to rub off on me. I feel more distant from Christ, you know, when I do those things. But yeah, like you said, you know, when I link up and look, I really love how you mentioned, you know, the older one, they would pair the younger one, you know, right there too, you know, often, you know, get you excited about those pillars that, you know, James always talks about, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, thank God that he puts people like that in our life, you know, to do that, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
that's awesome. Somebody else before we keep going.
Think about the disciples, though. If, you know, if Christ just came and just went right straight to the cross, you know, when of course, we know he waited till he was 30, you know, to actually start preaching, you know, for the Levitical side of it.
Mm-hmm.
But what if he had just, you know, kind of just hung to himself, and then just all of a sudden just went and, you know, and just started talking, you know, alone, and not taking the disciples under his wing and taught them?
Yep.
And increase their faith, you know. Talk to them about what he was all about, you know, and shown him and been the example. Things would have been a whole lot different, you know. I mean, they wouldn't have had that faith built up. They wouldn't have had that love for him that they did have. And I'm glad that he did that.
Yeah. Amen. The fact that he took the time to do that, you know, is,
yeah,
you know, I mean, just thinking on that thought alone, you know, I think it gets you real excited real quick in a hurry. You know, the fact that he took the time to, my goodness, you know, to teach us, you know, like you said, you know, to teach us, the fact that he took the time to even bother with us, you know, I'd go that far, you know, like knowing that, you know, we may not have been physically there, you know, but we put him on that cross. You know, our sins put him on that cross, you know, so that we, just like we read, he was obedient unto death. You know, there was, you know, some other examples that we'll dive into here. You know, you're going to see how not only he displayed, you know, a humbleness and a humility and a mildness and a gentleness and a mild of temperament, I guess you could say, you know, you're going to see examples on how, you know, he could have gone a different way, but instead he showed an example of, you know, again, you know, he basically took no glory or credit for anything, you know, and that's just the big thing that I've gotten from this is, like, you know, it's just crazy.
All the Father.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just was my humble in that he gave it all to the Father.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And he certainly did, you know, gave all the credit to him. It basically said, I can do nothing of myself except what the Father, you know, and I'm butchering the wording and stuff, and, you know, we'll get into it, you know, but the fact that I guess the other thought that I had today was, like, you know, he took no credit for anything, but he very well could have. You know, it would have been completely acceptable. And what I mean by that is, like, I mean, he's the Son of God. You know, he was there just like you read, you know, with your study, James, last week, is he was there from the very beginning. You know, let us, you know, make man in our own image. You know, he made us in his image. You know, so God knew, you know, being the Son of God, you know, like I guess I'm just trying to say God in the flesh, he could have easily taken credit and it would have been acceptable, but he still didn't. You know, like, wow. You know, again, just one of those things that just really kind of display the meekness of him. Anybody else?
Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment. And the meek will he teach his way.
That's awesome. Yeah. Amen.
That's just... I had read that earlier, and it just really stood out when you were talking about that. I'm glad that this is a learning way. We don't start out knowing how to use the gifts, you know, that we've been given. We're taught how to use these gifts. And,
yep.
We get taught all these things on how to be more like him. And I'm so thankful. And it is that way.
It's, yeah.
All the examples that we have, and that, you know, the ones that came before us, you know, that would help lead us in this way. You mentioned the pillars again. You know, we watched our pillars. We watched how they worshiped God, right? I mean, we watched how, you know, they believe, they have faith, and we could see it, and to us, they looked like they were unshakable, right? I mean, of course, we know, you know, once we're in the way that things come, but it's how you handle these things, how you're taught, and I'm thankful for those examples, but most of all, you know, thankful for the ones that lead me to be more like him, so...
Yeah, amen. Again, the fact that he's willing to even teach us, you know, I mean, I'm like Ryan Gooden with my testimony is I couldn't even quote scripture. I couldn't even quote the most common one that everybody knows, you know, John 3:16. But, you know, he's, and learning never stops. I would say that too, you know, add that too is, you know, there's always so much to learn in this, you know, and just, and for me to, I'll just say this, just diving into this meekness alone of Christ, you know, I've learned a lot, you know, just being able to dive into it too. You know, it's been awesome. So another point that I kind of want to touch on is, you know, Christ himself, you know, and this also is another example of his humility and his meekness, is he learned obedience, you know, and we might think that, you know, wait a minute, you're saying that Jesus Christ himself learned obedience. Well, let's go to the scriptures, you know. So Hebrews chapter 5, and we'll go to verse 5. You know, we'll start there. I'll give you guys a chance to turn over there. But the big thing with obedience too, and this is actually one of our definitions that we kind of pointed out earlier, is while he learned obedience himself, there was also obedience kind of goes hand in hand with submission. You know, you start in, you're in a state of obedience, a state of humility, then you're going to be in a state where you can be obedient. You know, so Hebrews 5, verse 5, it says, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he says, as he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him, that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation and on all them that obey him.
Amen.
Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So, you know, we read this scripture all the time, But the part that just really stood out is, you know, basically what Paul was teaching on, and we're familiar with this on how, yeah, he came from the tribe of Judah, you know, and the priesthood was technically left to Levi. But the big thing here, too, is that it says, so in 5, this is what stood out to me. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest. You know, just kind of let that resonate for a minute. You know, somebody that, again, clearly, you know, was more than qualified to be a high priest, but... and had every aspect, you know, more than that. You know, he didn't even have to offer up a sin offering before entering into the tabernacle, but still didn't glorify himself with anything. You know, like, that really gets me a lot because, you know, like, you start thinking of the pride of man a lot. You know, when we do something, you know, what do? You know, I mean, maybe this is me, but sometimes God's got to pop my airhead sometimes, you know, and... I'll do something exciting, or, you know, like I'll be very proud of myself, but then I start getting a little too big for my britches. And what does God got to do? He's got to unpuff me up, basically, deflate me, you know, whatever you want to, which way you want to put it. But here's him, more than qualified to be a high priest, and, you know, doesn't even take on the credit for it. Like, some would argue, you know, well, you know, he wasn't a Levite, so he couldn't have been the high priest. But the difference is, though, is even the Levites, you know, had sin. You know, they still had, again, offer up a sacrifice according to the law, first for themselves and then for the people. You know, but here's Christ. You know, he came, was put on this earth, took on our flesh. It took on us, you know, to die for our sins. Like, if that don't humble you or display meekness, like, wow. You know, leaving, you know, and I always get stuck on this, and I know this is more carnal, but can you imagine, like, the shell shock, you know, that he had to have had, you know, from leaving the portals of heaven and leaving perfection and then coming down and taking upon, like, this flesh. You ever think of it like that way? Like, how did you bear that going from perfection to, you know, you think about that, like, with Adam and Eve, you know, having to know what the paradise state was like. But then going and falling from that and being driven out of the garden, you know, you begin to think, like, kind of what kind of shell shock did they endure while they were here? You know, you can't help but think about those things, you know, because I'll just point this out. And I know I've been talking a lot, and this kind of leads into the next point, is suffering also. And I'm not trying to speak blasphemies here, but Bible does teach this, but suffering also. And this is kind of why I firmly believe that we endure trials, too. Suffering also brings on a humility and a meekness, does it not?
Yeah.
You know, like, just a question for everybody on the call. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, you can't always have, you know, that a Christian can't be happy, because we've been teaching on that, you know, on how you can be, you know, if, you know, like in the Beatitudes, you know, if you have those qualities on how all those things make us happy despite the trial. But can I ask you, you know, has anybody on the call ever learned anything on the mountaintop?
Now you worship there.
Yeah, amen.
You see things there.
Yep.
Like Moses, but you learn in the valley.
Yeah, amen. So then, yeah, I agree completely with that. I do, you know, so, like, I don't know, at least maybe for me, you know, I mean, if there's anybody else on the call that hasn't dealt with that, you know, but all the times that I've learned, you know, the most from God has been the times that I've gone through trials. Because what is our... You know, as a Christian, you know, what is our attitude? You know, again, how does our attitude change when you're in that trial? You know, at first, the flesh usually fights, right? You know, we're like, oh man, I don't want to deal with this. We don't want the trial. But then we kind of, later on, what do? Eventually, we get to a point where, like, I don't know what to do. And we finally get to a place where, like, yeah, but, you know, the spirit that's dwelling in me is saying, go to him. You know, and then what do? We begin to go and work with God. You know, we seek him out and his guidance and what he wants us to do. And then how does our attitude change? You know, you see in the submission, you see in the humility that comes along with it. Like, I don't know, I don't know if everybody feels the same way, or, you know. I'm sorry, do what again? I'm sorry.
James, go ahead. No, go ahead, Eric. I was just saying, how can you know his healing hand if you've never had to be healed?
Mm-hmm. That's really good.
How, And he shows you that's how you know that he can fix your problems, is he fixes your problems.
Yeah. Now I'm not, and yeah, amen. Yeah, and you know, and my thing is like, you know, like, do we feel like, you know, and this is just a question that's kind of came over my head, is, you know, I mean, now I will say at first glance, yes, it's like, you know, we would say no matter what season we're in, we need him just as much as any other season. Yes. But at the same time, do we feel like, I'm not trying to speak blasphemies, but do we feel like we really need him as much? You know, although we're worshiping him, do we feel like we need him as much when we're not in the trial? You know, just trying to put some bugs in your guys' ears.
No, I think human nature would just kind of relax when we're not in the trial.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Amen. You know, we kind of do.
That's
we
how get... we end up back in the valley.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, so I'm not, you know, with me putting that question out there, I'm not trying to say that we're always like, oh, I don't need you on the mountaintop. That's not what I'm saying. But there is times with it, like you said, our nature. It's not really our nature to always, you know, because we are a prideful people and we don't like to admit it, but we are. It's not necessarily because of the sin of the flesh. It's not necessarily our nature when we're on the mountaintop. Yes, we maybe worship him. Yes, you know, I'm not saying that there isn't a time and place for the mountaintop, you know, so don't get it twisted here. But what I'm saying, though, is I find that, you know, when he does humble me down in the valley, my worship changes on the mountaintop. I mean, would you guys agree with that?
Yeah.
Makes me appreciate him more. You know, makes me, you know, like we've been talking about the happy state of Christian, because this is all where this study kind of stemmed from, is, you know, when I'm taught something in the valley, when I'm taught something to be humble, and when I know that, you know, how God brought me through that one, it makes me go with, when I get to the next trial, it makes me kind of go about it a lot differently too there too. But it, any thoughts, comments, questions, anything before we keep going?
Can I go back on something real quick?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, just to show, when you were talking about the lineage and all that, just show how God literally thought of everything and brought it all together. Joseph was of the tribe of Judah. You know, Mary's father was of the tribe of Judah. Elizabeth, her cousin, was of the daughters of Aaron. So Mary was, her mom was from the tribe of Levi.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, in all intents and purposes, Mary was considered from Judah, because you know, all the lineage comes from the father, father's side, but her mom was a Levite, so Mary was, you know, had Judah in her and Levi in her. So I mean, isn't that good?
That's
God
awesome.
Just brought that together for her to birth his son, being, you know, look at the kings came from Judah, and the priests came from Levi. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's our King and our priest. I mean, that's just mind blowing how God literally does not leave anything undone.
That is awesome.
And then you got Jesus being so meek. You know what I mean? Just why? Because he's giving it all to the Father.
Yes.
I mean, it's just amazing.
Wow. I'm not gonna lie. I never knew that about. You said Mary's father was of the tribe of actually
Judah.
Yeah.
Judah. Her mom would be from the tribe of Levi.
Tribe of Levi. That is awesome. I'm not gonna lie to you. I don't think I've ever looked into it like that. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, he thought of everything.
Literally. Yeah, that is awesome.
I mean, it's just amazing.
My goodness. Somebody else. We got a few people that are quiet. Don't be shy. Everybody happy?
Think about the garden.
Oh, good.
You're talking about how learning and going to God. You know, that was the time that he needed lifted it up the most, right? I mean, he was getting ready to face the whole reason that he came.
Amen.
Getting ready to face death. his disciples, you know, fell asleep on him. And, you know, he didn't want to take on that trial, right?
No.
He went to the Father three times and said, but if not, then thy will be done.
And yeah.
That's the submission. And that's the meekness. And that's the love. That's the whole package that's happening right there.
Amen. My goodness.
It just was. And, because he surely didn't want to. He didn't want to face what he had to face, but he was still in submission to the Father, and still was taking on that meekness so that we could take that on. And it's just an amazing thing. And yet he was still saying, "Not my will, but thy will." Surrender, that's true meekness right there.
Amen. Yeah.
What truer example is there than that?
And see, you know, and it's just like you said right there, you know, like you can't help but look at these scriptures. You know, I feel like it kind of forces you to look at, you know, because we always read the scriptures, you know, and I don't know, maybe I'm just speaking for myself. I'm not trying to speak for everybody else. I feel like I always am bad about that, but I'm not really not trying to speak for everybody else. But like, how often do you like read something and I'm not going to lie, I just lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
Turning into me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But that was really good, though. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Anybody else before
whatever
we keep
it was, going? It was good.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a good thought for a minute. It was tied in with what you said, James. Like, do you kind of repeat what you were talking about? It might kind of...
Just being in the garden, how he didn't want to face it, but yet he still did, and still laid it on. And went to the Father, you know. Amen. Went to the Father when he needed help, and nobody else could.
Yeah.
Nobody else was around. He was facing that alone, but he wasn't alone. He still had the Father.
Yes. Amen.
I'm so thankful for that.
So it kind of came back to me. Yeah, thank you for repeating that too, and thankful for it, you know, because my thing is this though, is like we always read the scriptures and like I said, I'm speaking for myself. Like we read the scriptures and we say, just out of simplicity, we say, be meek, be humble, you know, that's what God wants us to be. But then when you start reading it from the perspective of God, you know, like you know, Jesus Christ, again, your perspective completely shifts, you know, because it's like, you know, it's because like you look at this and you're like, well, he displayed these things. So like, if I want to mirror, you know, if I want to shine that light out, that Christ-like light out, I got to have that same humility that he displayed. I can't help but feel that way, you know, with reading the scriptures, just like, again, going back to the Beatitudes, Matthew 5. You know, reading about those things, blessed are ye if you, you know, that do this and, you know, the end result, you know, reading those things, like it's awesome. You know, it really is like, what I'm trying to say is I can't tell you how much of a help this has been, you know, to me, you know, and I'm not trying to puff you up, Stephen, but I'm just so thankful that you minded the Lord with this. You know, I really am. But God put this example on my heart and, you know, this morning, actually, no joke. Like, I've been studying this, you know, since basically we've started talking about it. And turn to John 18, if you would. And God put this example on my heart and, you know, really began to deal with my heart this morning on this. And I'm just amazed by it. You know, and I promise there's kind of a point to this, you know, so we already kind of mentioned how he was obedient unto death, you know, he was, you know, and it kind of ties into that, actually. Now I think I understand why, you know, God put it on my heart now. Yeah. But it says right here in John 18, we'll just start at verse 1. And it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook of Cedron. I might have mispronounced that, where was a garden into which he entered and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted there with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all these things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto him, Whom seek ye? Then it says, They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Do you ever notice, like, verse 6? You know, I've been pondering on it all day, but do you ever catch verse 6? He goes and they basically say, we're seeking out Jesus of Nazareth. And he just full-blown says, I am he. And then it says that they went backward and fell to the ground. Like, you ever notice that? Like, I almost get, like, I don't know what and maybe if, correct me if I'm wrong by looking at this, but it's almost like they were surprised that he had just admitted, like, hey, oh, I'm he. I mean, is anybody else seeing that, or are you seeing something else with that?
I know I've read it. I don't think it's kind of stood out, you know, like it is right now.
Yeah, I kind of found that, like, fascinating, that verse, you know, a little bit, you know, and by backward, you know, like, I was looking at kind of the definition in my Bible, it means they drew back, you know, so it's almost like they were taken back by him just saying, oh, I'm he, you know, like, I mean, that's kind of the way I'm taking that. And, but anyway, so we see that, and I'll go on a little bit further. It says in 7, then asked he them again, whom seek ye? So they asked a second time. And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake, of them which thou hast gavest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, so this is kind of where I was trying to get to, where God placed my heart. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off the right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. And then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath, the cup which my father hath given me, shall I not drink it? So, first off, a couple of things I want to point out here, you know, and then, like, and please, you know, if you guys have anything, you know, don't be shy, you know, but it says, first off, you know, John's account, one thing I was looking at with these is it's the only one that actually names Peter cutting off the chief priest servant's ear. Luke also, let's go to actually, Luke is the only account that mentions Jesus healing the chief priest, you know, servant, you know, which it's actually over there. I didn't write it down, actually, but I think it's, oh, yeah, Luke 22:51. We'll go over there real quick. I just want to show something. So John doesn't describe this, but Luke does. 22:51, and it says, if I can get there. It says, and Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus, and he touched his ear and healed him. So you might be wondering, well, why this? You know, so first off, you know, he had so much humility that he was willing, you know, what I'm getting from this is he didn't put up a fight. He corrected Peter is the way I'm taking that. He stopped Peter. You know, he could have let his disciples, you know, fight them. He could have, you know, just they could have had an all-out war brawl right there, you know, the whichever way. There's just so many outcomes and possibilities that could have happened here. But instead, he told him to put up his sword. You know, the cup which my father have given me, shall I not drink it? So, again, you see a big picture of submission here. You know, him submitting himself, you know, which, you know, this is the part that really got me, too, and we'll go over there to it. But he just, he didn't deny who he was. He didn't, like, beat around the bush. He just straight up said, I am he. And it's almost like I'm kind of, what I'm getting from this is where they went backward and fell to the ground. It's almost like they were surprised that he just full-blown submitted himself and he said, hey, I'm he. You know, I'm who you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And he could have let the disciples fight them, but he didn't. Instead, in Luke's account, he healed his ear. You know, the people that were literally arresting him. I mean, if that's not a big display of humility, being lowliness, you know, I mean, I was just amazed by this when God put this on my heart. But any thoughts, comments, questions, anything?
I believe, Stephen, that you preached a message on that once about how, you know, when he said that to Peter about the sword, you know, you know, since Peter had cut that ear off, Peter would have been put to death.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have just killed him. And
yep.
He wouldn't have gone to prison, you know, for Christ's name. He would have been put to death.
Yeah. That's really
good.
He
was also showing, you know, that his way was of love. And, you know, I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
That's just good. And to go back, I mean, that's been weighing on me. You're talking about how they fell. And God lets some things come to mind that, you know, him standing there proclaiming in power that I am he. What an awesome thing that is. I believe that at that moment it was that strong. So often he had said, you know, that he thought about, I'm here to do the will of the one who sent me, will of my Father. And so now he's taken that. And think about the soldiers at the tomb.
Yeah.
Just from an angel, right? I mean, just from an angel standing there, said they fell as dead. You know, I believe him proclaiming exactly who he was at that moment. He was in all power, and I don't know. That's just the thought that the Lord let me have. And,
amen.
Amen. That's awesome.
I mean, you know, he has said it before. You know that you know, he said it. If you know, knew the Father, you would know me.
Yes.
But here, I think he was just proclaiming it so strong that they had no choice but to behold the power of God.
Yeah, that's awesome. Amen.
What else could make them fall back like that? You know?
Yeah.
Amen.
Man, that's good, man.
That's awesome.
Think about it. Anytime we have the angel study, anytime that man comes in contact with an angel, you know, that they would cower in fear, you know, get down, you know, fall down, and because the glory of them being in the presence of God just would overwhelm them. And now you have the Son of God, God in the flesh, saying, "I am He. I'm the one." And I believe that the glory just shined through. So
yeah,
far, man. But it had to. It had to.
That's awesome.
Man, it's good.
And the fact that, you know, and I guess even with this too, the part that I've been stuck on too is that, you know, Peter right here, I feel like learned a very valuable lesson. You know, and God just kind of tied this or here, you know, he was in, you know, first off, I believe wholeheartedly that Jesus himself was in full submission to God the whole way, you know, of course, you know, here too, you know, he didn't put up a fight. He just completely surrendered, you know, like, because he knew that this was his will, you know, that if he didn't do, you know, this, we'd be hopeless, you know. And then something that else, you know, if you turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 real quick, and I know we kind of covered this actually in another Sunday school. Peter now, I feel like this is where Peter began to teach, you know, and I can't help but see this. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 13. And now Peter is now teaching this church that was under persecution of Nero and Domitian about submitting, you know, to, you know, basically leadership, you know. And so, you know, and I begin to kind of put the two and two together is, yeah, okay, he was in full submission to death right here. Yes, absolutely. So he could die on the cross and suffer a sinner's death. And then not only the best part about the end of it is it didn't end there. He resurrected on the third morning. But now Peter is writing about, and I'll just read it. It says, "Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." You know, so something that I kind of was seeing right here, too, is like, I'm not saying that Peter didn't learn other things, too, though, but God just began to show me, like, this is a later writing that Peter penned down. But I wonder if this, I can't help but wonder, did this take him all the way back to that night that Jesus was arrested? You know, the big thing too is, does that mean that we submit to the will of, you know, them? You know, I think that, you know, obviously, you know, I think the answer is pretty straightforward. We submit to the aspect of, like, if, you know, we're brought up before them, you know, we, you know, when it comes to standing on God, we stand on God and what the Bible teaches. Absolutely not any Bible, but what the scriptures teach. But just like Paul displayed this too, you know, submitting himself before Festus and Felix, Herod Agrippa, you know, or, you know, Agrippa, King Agrippa, you know, he, you know, he appealed all the way up to, you know, the, you know, the Caesar, but he submitted himself in such a way to where he just presented himself, you know, like, in he was going to stand on the biblical principles. Yes. You know, not submitting to sin, but he still proclaimed Jesus Christ to all these folks, you know? So I just thought it was super cool on how Peter, you know, right here, he cut his ear off, you know, in defense of Jesus Christ, which I level with him. You know, if you're with him all that time and they're trying to arrest, and then said, man, you know, what's your gut reaction going to be? You know, you're probably going to want to defend him and, you know, every step of the way. But instead, Christ told him, no, don't do that, basically, is what he said. You know, so I thought that was just kind of interesting. But any thoughts, comments, questions?
Just read the rest of that chapter and see that's exactly what you're saying.
Yep.
It's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, amen. Because, we'll go ahead and read it. We'll start at verse 20. You know, it says, for what glory is it? And this kind of ties into the suffering that we were talking about. It says, for what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. So you can't help but see right there that, you know, I can't help but, you know, again, you know, I wonder if when Peter was writing this, I wonder if he was kind of going back, you know, to, again, the night of his Jesus' arrest. You know, you can't help but believe it, you know, by going off of what he's saying in verse 21. And then he continues on, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. Again, he was in full submission there. You know, and then it says when he suffered, he threatened not. He didn't put up a fight, you know, and even in other instances when the Jews sought to kill him, I mean, he retreated a couple times as you know, he felt led to do. But when it came time, when the rubber met the road, you know, he was in full submission, you know, to carry out the Father's will. But it says right here, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls.
Amen.
It's amazing. You know, just the...
Go to chapter 3 there, read verse 4, Tim.
Sure. But it says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Wow, that's awesome. Amen. Amen. So now at this point, you know, obviously, you know, that we're led by the Spirit, you know, we're led by the Spirit of God, you know, but yeah, that is awesome. Which is inside of God at a great price. Yeah. Amen.
Hey.
Yeah. That's awesome. Good. Anybody else? Thoughts, comments, questions? Don't be
shy.
That's
good stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Right. Aaron, Heather, y'all are quiet. You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
Meditating, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
amen.
That's good.
Nikki dropped off. Is she okay?
I don't know. She's laughing.
Eating another burger.
All right. So I still to this day don't know how to teach a short lesson. So do we want to keep going or everybody good or what you guys want to do?
I'm good.
Okay. So another example where Christ displayed humility in this part, you know, this guy kind of starts talking about what, you know, Stephen already said too, where, you know, he, you know, is declaring that he is following the Father. You know, he's not, you know, taking credit for anything at all. Like, so go to John chapter 7.
Yeah.
And of course, too, if anybody have anything too as far as scripture, you guys know that, you know, please, by all means, it'll add to it. It'll be good. John chapter 7, I'm sorry, were you saying something?
No.
Oh, okay. Let's go to verse 14, actually, over there in John chapter 7. And, you know, just this was an example, you know, again, and he was speaking at the Feast of the Tabernacle here in the temple, and that's kind of the timing. But it says right here, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how know this man letters, having never learned? You know, so going back to John chapter 1, you know, he is the Word, was the Word, and I always butcher the quotation of that first couple of verses. So he is the Word, he knows the Word, you know. So anyway, 16 says, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. So he's bringing this Word to him, but he's still, again, veering towards the Father the whole step of the way. It says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So he's still basically saying, look, I'm going to bear witness of what my Father is telling me to do, is basically kind of what I'm gathering from that. So it's going to bear witness and you're going to know. And it already was, being that they were saying, well, how does this man know letters having never learned them? Well, he, again, it's his Word, you know, like. So then he goes on further. He says, in 18, he says, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? If that's not a big picture of, you know, again, him not, again, fully capable and should have, you know, I'll go that far, could have taken, you know, the credit for it, but still is veering people towards, you know, like, hey, I'm following the will of my Father.
Yeah.
Humility, meekness there. You know, like, I'm just amazed, you know, that he spoke as one having authority, but he still gave the authority to the Father.
Yeah, man.
But any thoughts, comments, questions? Everybody happy?
That's so good.
So John chapter 12, another happy example. As a, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Happy as a pig in mud.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So John chapter 12.
Happy as a guy going to heaven.
Yes. Yeah. Amen. So John chapter 12, and I know we're just pulling examples here, but, you know, again, you know, when you start looking at it from the angle of Christ, you know, you begin to see that this whole book is all humility, you know, all the way through it, if we're being honest. You know, it's a big display of meekness, you know, that he displayed, you know, and even in the law, you know, I'm sure there's aspects of the law that you could even find where there was a meekness and a humility, you know, you could probably find, I'm just saying, you probably could find something, you know, it's all Christ in the whole volume of the book. John chapter 12, verse 42 through 50, and it says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogues. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. You know, so then it says, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him who sent me, that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am a light, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness.
Amen.
But then he says, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath not have one that judgeth him. So going back to the message that Stephen preached about, you know, judgment a little bit, kind of reminds me of that. It says, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I shall say and what I should speak.
Yeah.
And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. You know, so he's contending with the Pharisees off and on here, but still, despite all of this, you know, his, you know, again, you know, he's just doing the Father's will, you know, in full submission. But thoughts, comments, questions, anything, anything. Aaron, I saw you unmuted. You got anything?
No. Just as quiet in here now, so I can unmute it.
James, were you saying something?
I was having a light bulb moment thinking
you know, he knew exactly what God's word was, because he is the word.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He's the word of God, and he's the word of God made flesh. And so, of course, you know, the word that was in him was from the Father. So, I don't know that I've ever really thought about it like that before, but that's just amazing, you know, that when he said, you know, do what, you know, the Father has told me to do, you know, it's an amazing thing, because he is the word of God, and that's just so good. I mean, it sounds so simple, but it's amazing.
Yeah, amen. So, I have one more example, you know, and, you know, and you can't help but go to this scripture, you know, with, you know, just going over into the next chapter of John 13. You can't help but go here with this, you know, because, you know, the part that always sticks with me about this is the fact that it's not necessarily, he even said, I've given you an example, so we know it's not an ordinance, but he did, you know, he did say, happy are you if you do these things.
Amen.
You know, and so, but there was it is a huge picture of humility and meekness, you know, and this one just will never not, you know, really pull up the strings of my heart, you know, I guess you could say. But starting at verse 1, it says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And then it says, so starting there, and the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he risen from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And then he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherein he was girded. And then it says, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. So then he says, Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered and said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. So then it says, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not to save his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. You know, so just kind of going into this a little bit, I was digging into this a little more. And in Jewish culture, first off, you know, we've already established that in Jewish culture, you know, there are a very big, there are people that were really big about hospitality, you know, and with that in mind, the servant of the house basically would be the one that would wash the feet of the guests, you know, in Jewish culture. And something that they considered this as, they consider, and this part really just stuck with me and really got me, is this was this task, you know, for the servant of the house was considered a task for the low, you know, and that part really got me.
That's good.
You know, they viewed it as a very low task, you know, something that, you know, a typical person wouldn't do. But now you got Jesus Christ that's on his hands and knees washing his disciples' feet. The Savior of the universe, Savior of the world, you know, on his hands and feet, you know, hands and knees. And the part that gets me with this is he washed all of them, Judas also. You know, the one that he knew was going to betray him, he still washed every single one of them.
Right. Amen.
You know, that, my goodness. You know, I don't know about anybody else. You know, like, I when I read this, you know, what I get out of this, you know, and look at John 15, verse 12 through 17. I know we're jumping around, but this is the last example, and then I promise, you know, we can wrap up. But,
fifteen.
Yeah, chapter 12, verse, or I'm sorry, chapter 15, verses 12 through 17.
Never read.
Oh, yeah, amen. So then he says right here, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends.
Yeah,
you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends.
Amen.
For all things that I have heard of my Father have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. You've been talking about the love. I mean, this right here just tops it, right?
Yeah.
You know, just sums it up. You know, is he loved us so much that he wasn't afraid to take the low task.
Right.
You know, when I read this, you know, this is what I get out of this, you know, and everybody on the call, obviously, we know we participate, you know, and all that, you know, and I'm talking about the ones that are physically able, you know, I can't fathom by going through all these examples, you know, when you are physically able, I understand it's not a ordinance, but I just don't see how you wouldn't if you're able at the same time, you know, and... Yeah. And I'm not talking about the ones that aren't physically able, you know, I'm not talking about those ones. But with him having this much love and this much humility, he said, happy are ye if you do those. But then he still washed everybody, including the one that betrayed him. I just don't see how, you know, again, you know, he said, but he also said too, though, you know, that, you know, if I wash thee not, thou has no part with me. You know, don't you feel that way when you wash the brother's feet is... You know, you feel like you have a part with each other. Now, what do I mean by that? You know, the part that we have in common is Christ, you know, is what we have, you know. But I can't help but feel that, like, you know, if you're able to, I feel like you should, you know, I would encourage it. You know, it may not be a requirement, but we should, you know, we really should, is what Scripture says, you know. But any thoughts or comments on that?
That's good.
It's one of those things that it's, you talked about it being the low of the low, that if you think of it from the outside, or if you've never done it before, washing somebody else's feet, like, ooh, gross, I don't want to touch somebody else's feet.
For sure.
Especially some lambo. You know? But once you do it, and
you don't even think about it.
Not at all.
That ridiculous, fleshly, you know, desire not to want to do it, then it's really, you can't, it's hard to show, other than maybe praying for somebody, there's no better way to show them how much you love them.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
And it's the lowest, it's, you know, you're working at a restaurant, it's cleaning the bathroom, it's the thing that everybody avoids.
Yes.
You know, oh, man, I got to do that. But when he's in it, it's different.
Yeah.
It is getting yourself lowly, but at the same time, it's one of the best blessings you can get.
Yeah.
Being able to get that lowly is a real blessing.
Yep.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. You know, and just feeling that connection with your brother, you know, the love that you already have down on the inside, you know, and the love that God put in, the Christ-like love that he put in you, right? You know, like, we know that we didn't know love until he first loved us, you know, so.
Amen.
Just the fact that, you know, again, he said, you know, he said you ought to do these things, you should do these things, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, he displayed the example of what we ought to do. But yeah, I'm with you, Stephen. I don't even think about it like that. I'll be the first to tell you, flesh wise, I'm with you too, Aaron. Like, I'm one of those that's like, I do not like feet. I'll be honest with you too. Like, I'll just straight up and tell you the fleshly side of me, you know, is, you know, before foot washing, I'm usually the guy that looks at Steph a couple times and says, out of all this, all the parts that he could have picked, he picked the feet, you know. You know. But at the same time, I see why he did, you know, and you know, but when I put my flesh aside and just, you know, try him, you know, and I think about the fact that, again, he humbled himself so much that he did this for his disciples. Amen. I don't even think of it like that. I get past it every time.
Yeah.
Not only did he do it, he wanted to do it.
Right. Yes. Amen. Amen.
He rebuked Peter for not letting him do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
At the beginning.
Amen. Yep. Amen. And again, with me
sorry,
encouraging...
Sorry, Peter had to be nastier back then than they are now.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and with this, too, I don't want... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Steve. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, and with this too, I don't want anybody to take this as, you know, that I'm trying to beat up on anybody or anything. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is I am encouraging it if you can. You know, everybody on the call, like I said, I'm not talking about anybody on the call. You know, like if you're physically not able to, that's a whole different conversation. You know, that I think God is completely understanding and just, you know, but I'm talking about the ones that, you know, could, you know. I think that's I think it's a different conversation. You know, if the Savior could do it, I think, you know, we could do it. You know, I don't think he asked for much, you know. But as far as Christ being the example, I feel like that's all I have. You know, I mean, like I said, we could keep the study going farther and farther and really keep it going. Just ask if anybody else has anything.
Lesson. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Very, 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 very good lesson.
Amen.
I think we all could learn a little bit on how to be a little bit more meeker.
Yes. Amen. Amen. It's been good to dive into it, but it's definitely one of those, like I said, I was saying in the call, like in the text, is I don't feel like I scratch a surface with it, man, but there's so much in it on this, and You could study on this almost all day long. Like, it wouldn't be that hard.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's
whole walk. I mean, you know, his whole walk was that way. And I'm thankful for that, you know, that he was that example. It's just a powerful thing, you know. It's just to learn to be more like him. He told them, you know, that when you know, the Comforter would come, that, you know, he would teach, the Comforter would teach them of him. You know, there's no way that in the 3 years that they walked together that they could completely know who he was and the reason why he came until that Comforter came, you know, to teach. And those 3 years were in preparation, you know, and for them to go out and be like him. And it's an amazing thing. And look how long, you know, we've known the Lord and walking in his way, and you still learn something new, you know. Every time we have study, or every time God sends word, he teaches us something new. And just like we said last week, that it's just to be more like him.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, that's exactly what it comes down to. You know, each one of us, you know, we're breaking down, you know, our characteristics, but each one is going to teach us how to be more like he is.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. I just thank God for that. Great lesson, brother. Great lesson.
Amen.
Appreciate it.
Like I said, it's awesome how it just all just goes hand in hand and ties in together. It's all been awesome.
Hey.
All right, well.
We'll be more like him.
Amen. Amen. So if nobody else has anything, does Aaron, you want to go ahead and close this out in prayer? And then, I won't keep you any longer.
Actually, real quick, before we go, I had a question. I don't know if it really has to do with the lesson or not. But when they came in to get Jesus, my phone's going nuts. Hold on. So anyway, when they came in to get Jesus, it says there that before Peter cut off the ear and everything, it says that while he was speaking, they came in. So they heard him speaking. And then they asked where Jesus was, and he said, you know, I'm him. And then they were taken aback, you know. Yeah. Then they fall backwards. They walked in while he was talking. So, I mean, my question is, I would assume that hearing him talk, I mean, anybody who ever was looking for him, and most of the time in the Bible, they're looking for him. They're looking for, you know, is this the one that's healing everybody? Is this the Christ? You know, things like that. I don't know. It kind of reminds me of the day I got saved. Like, I heard him talking.
Yeah.
And I believe I knew who was talking.
Amen.
But then when I said, you know, is this Jesus? And he said, here am I.
Yeah.
That's kind of why I'm glad I wasn't driving whenever that happened, because it took me aback. It knocked me backwards whenever he said, here am I. This is me.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? I was just, you know, kind of curious what anybody else thought. Do you think they knew he was Jesus before they said, is, you know, who's Jesus?
Yeah.
I can't help but agree with that myself, you know, because they said that no man spake like this,
right,
you know, in other accounts, you know, so in yeah, amen.
I mean, when he spoke, multitudes came. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it wasn't just, you know, one or two stragglers here and there. I mean, whole multitudes came to gather around him to hear him. To bring their sick, bring their, you know, their lame, and because they were believing in that power, you know, it's the same. It had the same power that when the Lord was walking on the water and he said to Peter, "Come."
Yep.
Right. I mean, that gave Peter enough faith to step out of a boat, you know, during a big storm, but when the Lord said come, that gave him enough faith. You know, he knew that it was the Lord, because before that he said, if it be you, Lord, bid me come.
Yep.
Then what did he say? He said come. So yeah, when he spoke, just like now, somebody's lost and they're talking to you about being saved, all you can tell them is like, when he calls you, you will know.
Amen. Exactly.
You will know. There will be no doubt on who you're talking to or who's talking to you. And that's just how it is. I believe it was like that. Yeah, I believe they came in to ask anyway. But yeah, I do believe they knew who, you know, who was doing the talking.
That's awesome.
And what that all means is that what Judas did was completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
They would have known who he was. But they didn't need, but God made that happen. Like, I don't know. It's all kind of over my head sometimes, I guess.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Because then you could go any further and, you know, could say, well, you know, what was that fair to Judas? I mean, was he set up from the beginning?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You
know, Judas. Judas is one of those, you know, I feel like, you know, a lot of people, you know, if you asked, you know, if he had remorse or if he didn't, it's one of those topics that you'll always get two different answers, you know, like me personally, it's like on one aspect, I could see when people say that he had a devil, you know, like he knew, first off, I'm just going to start by saying this, he knew that, you know, all that time that he walked with Christ as a disciple, you know, he had to have known, you know, that he was, you know, who he was, you know, there was no secret about it. But on one end, you can't help but think like, well, what would have driven him to commit suicide? You know, did he have remorse or did he not? On the other side, it's like, I could see the other side of it where it talks about, again, he had a devil. So, you know, I know we're talking about indefinites, but, you know, like, I can kind of see both arguments, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. You know, he had to have known, you know, is what I'm saying, you know, and yeah, him, you know, selling out Jesus. Oh, I'm sorry, do it.
Yeah. No, just what you're saying. He made that choice.
He made that choice. Yeah, exactly. He completely
chose that money over it.
Yep.
That's, you know, the Bible says, you know, money, you know, having money is not filthy lucre, but the love.
Yep, that's it.
The love of the money.
Yes.
And that's how you become a rich man.
Yep.
So, that's a difference between someone who has money and a rich man.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, yep. And being rich isn't, you know, a sin. You know, it's just the people that treasure their riches more. And that's kind of why he talks about how rare a rich man enters into heaven. It's because, you know, what he's talking about is if they treasure those things over, you know, Christ, then, you know, obviously, you know, that, yeah. We're going off topic a little bit, but it's good. That's awesome.
That's why I said this doesn't really have anything to do with the Bible study, but
it's good though. It's good.
It's real good.
Yeah,
I love talking.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we pretty much lost everybody, but the three of us here. So
that's the way it seems like.
Yeah, Steven said he had to drop off and stuff, you know, and all that. But yeah,
I know Tim got bigger on my screen.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that's the last thing we need is Tim with a bigger head.
Yeah,
right,
Well,
just study about the opposite of that, and now we're giving Tim a bigger head.
Don't give me a big head.
No, don't worry about it. I'm here with the axe, ready to cut him down.
There you go. There you go.
Yes, Aaron, you want to go ahead and close us out in prayer, and everybody,
we can do that before we go all night.
Yeah.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for giving us this opportunity you've given us, Lord, to be together as a church family, Lord. We thank you for the knowledge you've given us, Lord, for the just goodwill that we have towards each other and the service we have towards you, Lord. Thank you for the growth and knowledge you've given us. Thank you for just all the blessings that you've given us. Thank you for your meekness, Lord. Thank you for what we've learned from it, Lord. Help us to be not just to hear what we've said today, Lord, and then let it go in one ear and out the other, but that we could live it like we should, Lord. Help the sick and unwell, Lord. Help us all to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Love you guys.
Love you.